It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. It's quarter number two of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Also brought to you by GoPSURV.com, the best single game RV value in Happy Valley. Check it all out at GoPSURV.com. Fantastic RVs you can rent for individual games, including the blue-white game coming up sooner than you might realize and all through the 2019 season. Check out what all they have to offer. Projection TV in the lot. Just a full-on tailgate scene for an entire weekend for the Penn State game. Go check it out at GoPSURV.com. Now seems to be like a good time, Greg, that's Greg Pickle, I'm Dustin Hockensmith, to look at where the transfers are coming from, pending transfers, looming transfers. You assume at this point all the guys who have put their toe in the water are actually going to leave. Like, to me, it would be a surprise if any of these guys would actually come back.
Agreed.
And looking at some of the positions on the depth chart and seeing where they've been hit the hardest, so to speak, where they have some numbers to crunch and to add some bodies there. In that conversation, I think it's worth mentioning just where they stand on scholarships right now on the roster in the 2019 recruiting class and what options they have to fill those spots if it's not in the 19 recruiting class.
No question about it. So, I mean, at this point, you're looking at 20 members of the class of 2019, 19 signees, including Devon Ellis, who we learned was actually signed since December, even though that wasn't announced. So that's 19. And then one commit, Smith Vilbert. So you're talking 20 guys currently in this class. And you're talking about, 11, 12 guys in the transfer portal either already have moved on and or, you know, are looking at the possibility of doing so. So to me, I think Penn State probably has, you know, 75, 76 guys on scholarship at this point in time. We always talk about how they can be at no more than 85, but I don't know, you know, and to get there, they need 10 more additions. I don't know where they're going to come from. And then also you talk about the 25 class limit when it comes to signing. So, I mean, I think that's obviously a part of the problem as well. So I don't think Penn State can get, you know, five more signees in this class. I think three or four is probably the most likely number of guys left to sign in this class. But we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. Either way, Penn State probably a little bit below that 85 number for the 2019 season in terms of total scholarships. But I don't think that's the end of the world. I'd be willing to bet that if you went around and looked, you'd probably end up finding that more schools than not are short on that 85 year after year.
Well, so let's talk options. If we have 9 or 10 scholarship spots to fill, as many as 9 right. or 10 to fill, the options are, number one, you know, Penn State had gone through this when they were going through sanctions. In one class, they're able to backdate January enrollees to the previous class. Is that a possibility still?
Yeah, I mean, I guess in theory it would be. In practice, I really don't think it's going to matter because at this point, I don't see, you know, five more guys that want to sign with Penn State to fill their 25, let alone, you know, they would need, you know, six at least to go over that 20 limit. So at this point, nah, I don't think that'll matter. Can they do it? Yeah, I believe so. Will they need to? I don't foresee a reason for them to have to go down that road.
So the next option, and it's still a big piece that we don't know much about yet, is how active will Penn State be in terms of courting transfers? It's what we, you know, with this new setup, you just don't know, you don't have all the context clues you need. So we have no idea how active Penn State might be in going that route to fill temporarily some scholarships. And then the other one would be if there are deserving former walk-ons who, you know, a one-off or whatever scholarships, you can use those scholarships that way. So those are the options. We don't know what Penn State's going to do when it comes to bringing recruits in. There's been some grumblings about guys that might make some sense for Penn State. And really, if you're a guy at some of Penn State's positions of need, a safety, if you're an offensive tackle, there's going to be a mutual interest. We just don't know what that's going to be yet. So with what we have so far, let's go down through what the depth looks like. And I want to start at along the offensive line, but particularly offensive tackle, because so obviously the two guys who left early for the NFL draft, Connor McGovern, a guard, Ryan Bates, a tackle, Alex Gellerstedt is in the transfer portal. Chaz Wright is moving on out of eligibility. So what you have at offensive tackle is a situation where it's Will Fries, and then I really don't know
right
now. Gellerstedt seemed like a guy who would be vying for a position there, but obviously with him moving on, boy, it's tough to forecast. And just the candidates, obviously Anthony Wigan coming in from Lackawanna College. Mm-hmm. Rashid Walker is another one. If you're going to let – definitely your most talented offensive lineman, you're going to let him sink or swim.
Uh-huh.
This could be the year to do it on the right side.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, if you're going to start – I guess let me start the back up for a second. Just overall, there, I know there's a lot of hand-wringing going on about Penn State losing, you know, two, three starting offensive linemen, depending on how you classify Chaz Wright, plus some other guys. But let's be honest, if this was not, it's not like this was some, you know, tremendously high performing group of offensive linemen. I mean, obviously individually they have high draft aspirations, especially Connor McGovern, who's very high up on a lot of draft boards. But you know, you look at the overall performance of the unit, and yeah, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to be starting fresh here. I mean, at tackle, obviously the onus is now going to fall to Rashid Walker, and he's going to, you know, they're going to expect him to be the guy that takes the next step. And I think him or Anthony Wiggins is going to have to be your starter at tackle this coming season. I just don't see any way around it. So, you return Steven Gonzalez, you return Michael Menon, but you have some spots to fill otherwise. And the question will be, Penn State, I think, feels like, again, to keep taking the next step, they need continued, consistently good offensive line play. And they have very, very highly regarded recruits to help them get to that point. Will this be the year they finally do it? We'll have to wait and see.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking Penn State depth in 2019. And coming off these transfers, we mentioned offensive tackles. That's a spot where the numbers are kind of thin right now. Wide receiver, not thin numbers, but the dynamic is interesting. With Juwan Johnson moving on, Brandon Polk also opting to transfer. The depth is fine, but you have a couple different things that are worth watching. Number one, the oldest players on the roster at that spot are redshirt sophomores. They're going to be third-year sophomores next year.
Yeah.
The other part of it is your most experienced guys are all what you would call not prototypical big physical imposing presences: KJ Hamler, Mac Hippenhammer, Cam Sullivan, Brown, Jahan Dotson. What you're going to be relying on to have that bigger, more physical presence are all young guys: Justin Shorter, Daniel George, John Dunmore. Maybe there's a surprise looming that another wide receiver comes in 2019. But this is these are the guys, and I think there's ample talent. There's more than enough talent there.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, you know, and maybe I'm a sucker for thinking this. I thought Juwan Johnson could have had a bounce back 2019 season here. Maybe it's going to happen someplace else.
Nope. Ship has sailed on that.
Greg thinks the ship has sailed on Juwan Johnson.
At least at Penn State. I mean, I just
Fresh start was not a bad idea for him.
Yeah.
But so I guess the dynamic here is you don't have veteran 6'4 guys who can make a contested catch.
Could Juwan Johnson make a contested catch?
Well,
two out of three ain't bad, I guess.
Yeah. And really, it's not even about Juwan. It's more about like what the complexion of the roster is now. They don't have that. And maybe Justin Shorter and Daniel George are going to be stars in 2019. We don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe John Dunmore is going to be ready to play. He's 172. He's 172 pounds right
after
now.
After seeing him in Orlando at the Under Armour game, hard to see that unless he, you know, I mean, he doesn't get here till June, so maybe his next, you know, 6 months in Florida are really spent bulking up without that. It's hard to see, but you're right.
Can you win with all these 6 foot guys running around? That's what they've got brought in the past couple of recruiting classes. Mm-hmm. So that we're about to find out, I think.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And what's Cam Sullivan Brown? He's sort of the oldest, old man of the group at the very tender ripe age of redshirt sophomore. So
yeah,
I mean, it's not. You're right. There's not an older, experienced guy in this bunch. I don't think that's necessarily the worst thing in the world, because I think the older, experienced guys were kind of in the way. But it does put an onus on those guys now to all take a big step forward. I will say this: regardless of size, if Ricky Ronnie and this Penn State offense, whoever the quarterback is, doesn't find a way to get KJ Hamler more involved, it won't matter what the other guys do.
Yeah. I even with the caveat that he's a small guy and blah, 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 he still managed to find open space a lot.
Right.
And he didn't touch the ball nearly enough. So if that – you're right. If that problem doesn't change, then none of this really matters. Looking at safety, another spot that was hit, Lamont Wade – was maybe the biggest surprise of all the expected transfers, just because he looked to be in line to start. But if you also look at what he's got going on as an athlete and as a human being, you can kind of get it a little bit. Aaron Monroe also transferred, not, you know, devastating or heartbreaking in its own right because he hasn't seized that job, but you know, you're looking to get, you're getting pretty thin on numbers, and if nothing changes, which I do suspect, that a cornerback is moving to safety again. I don't think they can go into a new season with that much depth at corner and that little depth at safety without making some kind of move, because you've got John Patrician and Garrett Taylor, your redshirt seniors. Taylor, the projected starter. Jaquan Brisker comes in as a junior eligibility. Jonathan Sutherland is a redshirt sophomore. Tyler Rudolph is in great position, I think, to play a role in some way, form, or fashion. But if you have even just one injury, you're going to be pushing the depth quite a bit at safety.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're starting to develop a pretty scary theme here for Penn State in 2019. And
it all goes perfectly.
It's exactly right. Well, that guy should be able to start. Well, this guy should be a starter. You know, it becomes one of those kind of things, and you don't know a lot. That can be really good and really bad, because I think we thought, or at least I thought we knew, a lot about what this Penn State offense could be in 2019, and it never lived – or I'm sorry, in 2018, and it never lived up to the expectations. So perhaps not knowing and the unknown of what these guys can do will be a good thing for Penn State, in the sense that it will allow them to do some different things that maybe we haven't seen before and take the next step. But you're right. Safety is just one of a few positions where an injury or two, or just plain old bad play, and you are in a pretty dicey situation with not a whole lot of ways to remedy it.
I think it's going to be interesting because Jonathan Sutherland time is a good time for me. I'm looking forward to seeing him more because he definitely struck me as a guy who probably commanded a little bit more than what he got, but he was just blocked along the way. I'd be stunned if he's not the starter opposite Garrett Taylor.
Agreed. Unless Brisker really comes in. I mean, I know he was highly regarded at the junior college level. Maybe he'll come in and surprise us, being a little bit older and really win the job. But you're right. I would say that Sutherland's the leader in the clubhouse at this point.
Like I said, I think there's a cornerback who's going to be on the move. We might not learn about it until the springtime. All right, we're going to stick with this theme, looking around the depth chart at positions that were hit by transfers and figure out where the depth is coming from. Stick around. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.